Hello, friend. I'm glad you stopped by today. I'm glad you came. It's been a while. It's been 3 weeks, 4 weeks since I've brought a message, and I've had other pastors preaching at our church, and so now it's time to step back in, and I'm going to start a new sermon series called The Faces of Christmas as we enter into this Christmas season. So if you have your Bible, I want you to get it out and open it to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we'll be there in a moment. Let's pray first. Father God, we come and we say hallelujah. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords is being born. He's born in Bethlehem. He's born in a manger. It is God in the flesh, God in the straw, God in all the dealings of my life. And I don't want to miss Christmas. I want to understand the faces of Christmas and just the face that I wear when it comes to knowing this King that's coming. So, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you speak to our hearts and lives today? Jesus, in your precious name, amen. Now, there's a little video clip out there on YouTube about Charlie Brown and Charlie Brown Christmas. And for those of you who are old enough, you might remember that whole scene. Charlie Brown, he yells out, "I don't get it. What's it all about? What is Christmas all about?" And Linus, you know, the little kid with the blanket and the thumb in his mouth all the time, he goes, Charlie Brown, this is what it is. And he starts quoting Luke chapter 2. Now, we're going to get there in a moment. I'm going to read that. But sometimes I think to myself, I mean, do you ever feel like Charlie Brown? I mean, do you ever forget what Christmas is all about? It isn't all that hard to do, I mean, even for Christians. I mean, there are so many things going on during this time of year. There's presents that we have to buy, and cookies we have to make, and decorations we have to put up. And with all the activity, it's easy to lose focus and perspective and to miss out on what this is all about. Now, there are many good things that go on from a human perspective. I mean, families get together and people are giving to one another. Friends and co-workers are getting together at parties. Now, these things aren't all that bad. But when so much time is taken with pondering what to get and preparing what to make and purchasing the things we'll give, we can easily become overwhelmed and unfocused. And that's when we can lose our sense of wonder and awe of why it is we celebrate Christmas. Christmas is a celebration about Jesus. It's a celebration of the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ and the love he showed by leaving heaven to be born and live and die for us. We should be awed at how much God loves us and how he demonstrated his love. So in this message, I'm going to start this Christmas series, and we're just going to call it The Faces of Christmas. We're going to be examining some of the faces of those that were at the first Christmas and seek to learn some ways we might respond to the birth of our Savior this Christmas. Today, we're going to look at the face of awe as we examine the shepherd's response to the angel's news about the birth of Christ, so that we might be able to capture or maybe recapture the sense of awe that will cause us to respond and act like they did. Now, if you turn to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 8 through 20. I mean, we're going to read the account that Linus actually said in the Charlie Brown flick, plus a little bit more. And even though this may be a very familiar passage, it's my hope that we'll see it and hear it in a new way, and that it'll help us leave this time with a new or renewed sense of awe on our faces. Follow along with me if you can, starting with verse 8. That night some shepherds were in the fields outside the village, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terribly frightened, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news of great joy for everyone. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem, the city of David. And this is how you will recognize him. You'll find a baby lying in a manger, wrapped it snugly in strips of cloth." And suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth to all whom God favors." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Come on, Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this wonderful thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They ran to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. And then the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary quietly treasured these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their fields and flocks, glorifying and praising God for what the angels had told them and because they had seen the child just as the angel had said. Now, I know that many of us have heard this story countless times, but I want us to take a look at it a bit deeper and see if we can be awed again. The first thing that we should notice is that this good news is for everyone. That's what it says in verse 10. It says, "But the angel reassured them, 'Don't be afraid.' He said, 'I bring you good news of great joy for everyone.'" I know we know this from an intellectual position, but I really want you to consider this morning. I mean, the shepherds were awed by what they heard from the angels. And some might say that they should be awed. I mean, they were truly in need of this salvation. You see, shepherds in that day, they weren't your clean-cut type. They were looked down on in society. They were viewed kind of like we might view a homeless person or a gypsy. Some were even known to be thieves. And the good news to them was because they knew they were in need. And they knew they needed a Savior. And they knew that they'd been given a gift that they didn't deserve. Now, maybe you're listening to me today and you've committed some heinous crime. I want you to know that Christ's birth into this world is good news for you. There are some who have had a hard time accepting that, but I tell you, and the Bible tells you, that Christ has come to forgive and to call sinners to repentance and to give eternal life to all who believe. The gift of salvation is for everyone. There are no unforgivable sins except one, and that's not believing the Holy Spirit as He leads you to Christ. Yes, the coming of Christ is good news for you, just as it was for the shepherds. Now, on the other hand, maybe you're listening to me today and you haven't really committed any heinous crime in your past. Maybe you have, according to the world or in comparison to those around you, been pretty good. That's great. But I think that for people in that situation, it's sometimes easy to really not be awed by the fact that God entered this world in human flesh to save sinners. You see, sinner is not the first word that comes to our minds when we think of ourselves. I want to look at another story so that you might be able to see ourselves and still recognize our need and know that the good news for everyone is good news for the not so bad as well as for the bad. Now, in Luke chapter 7, there's this beautiful story. Jesus is having dinner with a man named Simon. I'm going to begin reading with verse 36 if you want to follow along. It said, "One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to come to his house for a meal. So Jesus accepted the invitation and sat down to eat. A certain immoral woman heard he was there and brought a beautiful jar filled with expensive perfume. And then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. And then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee, who was the host, saw what was happening and who the woman was, he said to himself, 'This proves that Jesus is no prophet. If God had really sent him, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner.'" Now, I want to pause here for a moment. I mean, did you hear what he said? He said this woman was a sinner. And what he means is that, unlike me, I mean, this woman really is a sinner. And from a human standpoint, she has probably done some pretty sinful things, probably even more than this Pharisee. But we've got to take a look at things from an eternal standpoint. Let me continue reading with verse 40. "And then Jesus spoke up and answered his thoughts. 'Simon,' he said to the Pharisee, 'I have something to say to you.' 'All right, teacher,' Simon replied, 'go ahead.' And then Simon told him the story. 'A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to the other, but neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? And Simon answered, well, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. And then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust off my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss of greeting, but she has kissed my feet again and again from the time I first came in. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she's anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven, for she has shown me much love. But a person who has forgiven little shows only little love. I mean, it might be better stated that he who feels he has been forgiven little loves little. I mean, we may feel this way because we make the wrong comparison. We're comparing ourselves to someone else who in our eyes may have done worse things. Now, just imagine for a moment if our righteousness was measured by water and this woman had only an eyedropper full of righteousness because of all of her sin. We, however, you and me, we have a swimming pool of our own righteousness. And compared to one another, we're looking pretty good. See, if entry into heaven were based on righteousness, which it is, we would be looking pretty good in this comparison. However, when we compare our swimming pool of righteousness to what would be needed, the righteousness required would look something like the Pacific Ocean. Then how does our swimming pool of righteousness look? It looks like an eyedropper. See, we've got to recognize that pride, hate, lust, greed, gossip, and worry, they're all sin. And because of it, we're woefully inadequate for heaven. Just because we haven't stolen or killed doesn't mean we don't need a Savior. Oh, we need a Savior. Recognize your sin and realize your need to be and be awed by the fact that the Lord has loved you enough to provide good news for everyone, even you and me. So that's the first thing we should be awed by. We've been given a gift so great and so undeserved that when we focus on it, it should just blow us away. But how do we respond to this realization? Well, the shepherds heard this message and they recognized their need and they were awed and the good news drew them to Jesus. Look what they do after the angels leave. Let me read verse 15 and 16. It says, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, come on, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this wonderful thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. And they ran to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a manger. Now, it's not like these shepherds had nothing better to do. They had to keep watch over their flock so that no predators would come and attack them. They had things that needed to be done, but they were moved by the good news that the angels announced and were drawn to go to Jesus. They responded to what they heard. We may be awed by the love God has shown us as we recognize our need, but we need to respond to that need by coming to Christ and receiving Him as our Savior. I mean, the Bible clearly tells us we need to receive this gift by believing with a heart belief. A heart belief isn't something that stays inside of you. It affects you. It affects what you do. It affects what you say. When we recognize our need, we need to confess that belief of who Christ is and what He's done. That's what it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Do you recognize who Jesus is? That He's Lord? That He's God who put on flesh and was born into this world in a manger? I mean, do you know that He was born to die? He died for you, for your sins. He died to pay a price that you could never pay, no matter how good you've tried to be. You fall short and fall very short. There's good news today. That type of love that was shown should draw you to want to be with Him. Maybe, however, you're listening to me today and you're in church every Sunday and you've received Christ and you experienced the awe of Christmas in the past, but lately you've just been kind of caught up in all the doings and haven't really been experiencing much awe. Friends, what's up with that? I mean, how do we get that face of awe back? Well, we need to do what the shepherds did. They realized just how good this good news was, and they knew that the good news is good enough to share. Listen to these verses again, verse 17. It says, "Then the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary quietly treasured these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their fields and flocks, glorifying and praising God for all the angels had told them and because they had seen the child, just as the angel had said." I mean, that word astonished, it means to be wondered at, to be amazed or to marvel. As the shepherds were awed by the angels and the good news of God's coming into this world to bring salvation, and as they told others, those others were amazed and awed by the good news as well. And not only were the others awed, but the shepherds continued to experience the awe of Christmas, and it showed. They returned to their work, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. See, I think part of the problem with Christians today is that we don't share this incredible news with others like we should. And it affects our own ability to continue in awe at what Christmas is all about. When I'm around a new believer, I get to experience their awe and excitement. It excites me. And I'm reminded again of the true gift that we've been given. So I want to encourage you this season, as we gather with family and friends, to share the good news about Jesus with those the Lord has placed in your life. Tell them about Jesus, and that they need to respond to this good news by believing and receiving. Invite them. Invite them to go to church with you. Go to one of your Christmas services. That'd be an ideal time because they're going to hear about the Savior come for them. The shepherds responded by going to Jesus. If you have never received Jesus, and the holiday time of year is one that stresses you out, maybe you just need to hit the pause button on what you're doing. And just come to Jesus, and just like the shepherds did. Come to Jesus by professing your belief in God. Confess with your mouth your belief that Jesus is who He says He is, and what He has done, and that He's died for your sins and rose from the dead. And friend, experience the awe of Christmas.